Hello and welcome to Blurred and Nerd. I'm BJ.
And this is Matt.
This is the podcast where we talk about nerd things that are nerdy. So today we're going to jump in with Star Wars. Star Wars 7 is coming out in 2 years, December of 2015.
I wouldn't know. I'm bad with dates, but I'm pretty excited about Star Wars 7.
That's when it comes out. We don't really know anything about it, honestly, besides J.J. Abrams is doing it. R2-D2 has been confirmed to return, which is such a small thing that I don't even care.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of like they're like, oh, we're not going to tell you who's going to be in it, but R2-D2's in it. It's like... Bitch, I don't care. Oh, actually, you know what? Today, read that they have created built a full-scale model of the Millennium Falcon to be filmed in.
A full-scale model. That's super cool.
Yeah, so they're going to film inside it and outside of it or whatever.
Okay, so they are going to have the Millennium Falcon back.
Which... Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've confirmed that a few times.
Okay, so we've got R2-D2 and... Mm-hmm. The Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. What kind of worries me, though, where they had this whole thing where they were like, you know, we have our release date. We're probably going to push it back into 2016. And everybody's like, wait, what? And then J.J. Abrams was like, no, I don't think we should do that. Can we please have it 2015? Because, you know, like, people need this. And they were like, fine, you can do it. So they had the writer, Michael Arndt is his name. He wrote Little Miss Sunshine, Finding Nemo. Basically, everything he's ever written was nominated for Academy Award or won something.
Okay.
So he's a really good writer, like, as far as, like, movies and stuff. So everybody's like, cool. But then we found out that J.J. Abrams, and I cannot remember his name right now, something Kasdan, he was the writer for, I think, Empire Strikes Back, or one of the original Star Wars.
Okay.
All and right. Him and J.J. Abrams were taking over writing duties for Michael Arndt, which is...
Duties.
Which is kind of weird, because, I mean, I thought he was doing fun, but I think it was just because didn't feel like he could come up with a story that quickly or write it all out, so it was better to have two people, and since, you know, J.J. Abrams is directly involved as a director, he knows what he wants as far as... that goes. So I guess that's why that happened, but it still kind of makes me like a little concerned for what's going on there, that they just completely got rid of this award-winning writer. Maybe they just felt like what he was coming up with was not what they saw at all, so they're like, we like you but we're gonna have to let you go, you know.
Well, I mean, like, based on what you said, Finding Nemo and Little Miss Sunshine, neither of which are...
I know, you know, and those are just two examples, but
yeah, I figured, I'm sure he's qualified to write a Star Wars film. It's just whenever you mentioned that, I was like, you know, like feel-good movies, like, well, sweet, cutesy stuff. Like, that's not really... That's never been the space opera that Star Wars has been. You know what I mean?
But you gotta think that, technically, the Star Wars franchise, especially being under Disney as long as they have, it's inherently a children's family... Not children, but, you know, like, a family film that people of different ages can enjoy.
Yeah.
So I think that his writing style kind of translated to that. But at the same time, it's good that they... I think it's Larry Kasdan, I want to say. It's the other red. Anyway, but J.J. Abrams, you know, he did the new Star Treks, and those were really fun movies. I mean, they had a really darker subject matter with planets being destroyed, and...
I mean...
Yeah.
A planet got destroyed in Star Wars.
Well, oh, that's true. But I guess they didn't... Good point. Well, but... Good point. I forgot about that.
Also, have you heard of the Andor Holocaust theory?
No.
That it was like a... I think it was a physicist. The close proximity of the Death Star exploding over Andor, the likelihood that it caused raining chunks of flaming metal all over the planet that would eradicate all of the Ewok is, like, incredibly high. They even went so far as to make a comic book about the aftermath of the Death Star exploding.
Wait, the Ewoks?
Yeah.
On the moon of...
Andor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we saw that they were fine.
You see that they're fine in the movie, but...
You're saying it takes much longer to happen?
I'm not sure. All I know is that there was an actual real-world scientist, like, physicist, that was like, the Death Star exploding that close would absolutely have killed everything on that planet, and so...
How close was Alderaan to Endor, though? Or the moon of Endor?
The Death Star to Endor? Or Alderaan?
What did I say?
You said Alderaan to Endor.
Yeah.
A long ways away, because Alderaan was the one that got destroyed in...
I know, that's what I'm saying. So I'm trying to figure out how long it would actually take. Taken for what the trajectory would have been for Alderaan's...
Are you confused?
Planet chunks.
I'm not talking about Alderaan exploding, destroying Endor. I'm talking about Death Star 2 exploding.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Alderaan this entire time.
No, absolutely not.
Wow, I'm so confused. Okay, so continue.
So,
they
made a comic, and all I remember is one of the panels was an Ewok frantically running away from a gigantic piece of flaming steel flying towards it. It was amazing. But yeah, that's the Holocaust, or the Endor Holocaust theory, like, pretty intense stuff. But
interesting. I mean, and I guess I don't care, because I kind of hated Ewoks anyway. Like, they were the Jar Jar Binks of that series, in my mind.
The primary reason that they used Ewoks there instead of what they were going to use, I believe it was funding limitation, but they wanted Wookiees to be on.
Oh, yeah, like Kashyyyk or something?
Yeah, and that's why they changed it from Ewok to, or from Wookiee to Ewok. It's right in there, like, in the name itself. But interestingly enough,
they never actually called them Ewoks in the movie.
Never once.
I knew that.
I was about to say that. Thanks for stealing the thunder. That's all right.
I'm sorry, but yeah. No, I just wanted to share that I knew that. So, like, when you watch it and going and noticing that, you're like, wow, they'd never do say Ewoks.
They'd never say it.
So you're like, where the hell did, like, it just a thing that materialized.
Just,
like,
everybody just understood it all simultaneously.
Like, yeah, it was just like, oh, yeah, those are Ewoks. Yeah, how do you know that?
Sure.
I mean, they're Ewoks.
I mean, there was also the Ewok Christmas special, which might be the reason that
weird ass, like, Star Wars thing.
The cartoon, like, yeah, it was pretty terrible.
The cartoon? I'm talking about the live action one where, like, they had Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, like, singing.
See, maybe that was the Ewok Christmas special, but I know that there was also a cartoon that was also ass. It was just a one-shot cartoon. It was an Ewok Christmas special, so I'm sure that's why people knew, but we only know because our parents knew.
Yeah, my parents saw the original Star Wars in theater multiple times, both of them, which is awesome. Like, which kind of explains why I might be so nerdy, like, into stuff like that, because they, you know, they made me watch Star Wars when I was a kid. Like,
yeah, I was raised on Star Wars, and
I remember going to see Phantom Menace in theaters. I was 9. I'll never forget. My uncle took me and my cousins, and we went and saw it. And of course, all I remember from it, really, like, is all I remember is pod racing and Darth Maul. Those are the only two things I can remember. Well,
those were also the two things that got marketed so much. Like, there were tie-in video games of pod racing.
That's true.
Like, pod racing was a huge fucking thing, but it's like,
yeah, because we had the N64 Star Wars pod racers.
I mean, when you think about it, like, pod racing was a really minor part of the Star Wars universe. Like,
no, go. Oh, well, yeah, the universe, but like of that movie, go back and watch that. That scene is like almost an hour long.
Yeah, like, it's like
it's half the movie.
And you know, I'm sure this will start a completely different conversation, but it's like Star Wars, like Fast and the Furious edition. Like, it was very much a, like, racing film right in the middle of.
Yeah, it was kind of just like, I understand the whole point was to show that Anakin inherently was this, like, incredible pilot. He could use our midichlorians, like, were just all over him, helping him navigate, like, this crazy place. But at the same time, I feel like it was so unnecessary, and, like, I didn't care that much. You could just tell me that he was strong in the Force, and I would be like, okay, you don't need to prove it to me. Going back to that conversation we were having earlier, not in, you know, at a different time, but the first Star Wars should have started with Obi-Wan Qui-Gon going to the Trade Federation to go do whatever, and it didn't even have to be called the Trade Federation. It could have been the start of the Empire or whatever. Instead of them doing whatever the hell they do, then they're trying to get killed or whatever, they're trying to kill them, but Darth Maul comes in, like, right at the beginning, and you have no idea what's going on, but you know who Obi-Wan is, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So they fight, and they have that giant epic battle. Imagine if that's how that Star Wars movie started, just that long battle at the end in the beginning of the movie. And so,
and then,
like,
it only goes up from there.
Yeah, so. Like, Qui-Gon Jinn dies, like, of course, and he's like, train the boy, and you're like, I don't know who the boy is, but Obi-Wan knows, so that's all that matters.
Yeah.
It cuts back to him after he figures out his shit. He goes back to Coruscant, to the academy, he sees Anakin, and he trains him, and he's just so pissed about it, like, because he doesn't like this kid and understand why Qui-Gon was just like, yeah.
Had so much faith in him, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's kind of annoyed about it, and plus, why does his kid have a master when his was just taken from him so abruptly? Because Obi-Wan was really young. He was still a Padawan learner. He still hadn't even gone through the trials yet. Like, for him to just take on this thing and not even having gone through the trials, he's pretty butthurt about it. Anyway, so the movie just goes along with him having to train this kid, and they could even do a little time lapse, and then at the end, like, they have to stop their training and go on something to save somebody. It could be Padme. That would be fine with me, but not in a Trade Federation capacity. Something else, like, or the Gungans. Nobody gives a shit about that. But, you know,
so much of that film that nobody gave a crap about.
Well, yeah, like,
and I mean, all of the new characters that they introduce all die in that movie.
Yeah, and, like,
well, I mean, as far as you know.
Yeah, and then of course everybody, you know, hates Jar Jar Binks, and, like, they even went as far as to keep him relevant, kind of, in the second film. Like, he's there as, like, a counselor or something like that.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know, like, because this is really understated as far as, like, the what's actually all going on. But remember that his vote was the one that made Palpatine
Senator, like, or Supreme Chancellor.
Yeah. So not only was he relevant, he is absolutely the
responsible
reason
that the Empire exists.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn it, Jar Jar. Like,
because it was him and who was the other guy that Chancellor was, he was running against? Palpatine was running. I don't remember his name. I'm pretty sure it was the guy that played Zod in Superman 2. I can't remember his name right now. Terrence Stamp? It was Terrence Stamp. That's
no
his name.
Idea.
Yes. If you saw him, you'd be like, oh my God, it's that guy.
Okay.
But Terrence Stamp was the guy he was running against. And that guy seemed really evil at the time, and Palpatine Palpatine was like, yeah, I'm freaking JFK of this universe. Like, everybody loves me. And, like, it was like, yeah, that guy. And then he turns out to be this ass evil guy. Like, but really, if you think about it, like, this is a whole nother conversation. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But Empire really wasn't that bad.
Not that you see in the movies. In the extended universe, they are absolutely terrible. And
I believe that, but, like...
Also, they use their giant space station with a laser to blow up a planet.
No, I know. People. But I'm saying what they're doing, their overall goal really is just to keep peace in the universe, like, in the galaxy.
Unification.
Yeah, and that's what they want. I mean, sure, they're doing it with a strong fist.
Tyranny.
But, yeah, but I'm not even going to get into it right now. Okay. But like, back to...
I mean, there's a reason.
Star Wars 1. Hold on. Star Wars 1 should happen. So, like I said, they go into this adventure, Obi-Wan and Anakin. They, like I said, they time-lapse a little bit. And they could even show... I don't know if you remember at all. In the second one, when it first shows Anakin, stupid shit.
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. They're in the elevator. Oh my God. And they're, like, talking. He's like, oh, I haven't seen Padme in years and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Obi-Wan's like, something, but you saved me from the Snorlax pit or some shit like that. Not the pit, but, you know, he says you saved me from something. And he's like, oh, if I remember, blah, 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 it went this way. Whatever. They're bantering about some adventure that they had. That could have been in the first movie. Like, and yeah, that sets up, like, Obi-Wan, that was his trial. Like, the council's like, you know what, you did really good on this mission. You're a freaking Jedi Master now or whatever. And then Anakin is permanently your Padawan learner. Like, he's as good as we think that he is. He might be the one for this. So, and then in the second one, you're not out of the loop yet. You know exactly what they're talking about. He can still do his whole stupid-ass love story with Padme and all that crap, and you still understand what's happening. You know what
stupid
I mean?
Stupid-ass. Yeah. Like, fundamental to the reason he becomes Darth Vader, but...
Yeah, I'm just saying, like...
It was pretty dumb, though.
It's not the love story that was dumb. It's just he was really, really creepy about it. Like, I can't live without you. Every time I look at you, my body burns inside. I was like, whoa, that is so weird. You can't say things like that and expect a girl to,
I'm totally going to try that now.
I know, right? Like, what is it?
Hayden Christensen.
But that makes me wonder about Natalie Portman's mental stability.
like, Padme's? Like,
yeah, Padme. Like, if that, she was attracted to that. Like, she wanted that.
I mean, like, I guess, like, Hayden Christensen was, like, really attractive, you know, crying all the time. Crying constantly.
Maybe,
like,
him bearing his emotions was what did it for her.
I don't know, man, because he was crying a lot. Yeah. Like,
no, he never really cried. He was, like, weeping, like, ugh. Like, whimpering, kind of.
Sniveling.
Yeah. Like, you know who should have played... I'm trying to think of actors that are about his age that could have done that. Okay, you saw Jumper, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the British kid? Jamie Bell is his name? The British Jumper that he teams up with.
I vaguely remember that movie. I feel like I got hit in the head and then saw Jumper because I only kind of remember vague things about that. Like, there's Hayden Christensen and for some reason he was Nightcrawler.
Yeah, like I have this really love-hate relationship with the movie because Hayden Christensen makes that movie ass. But it's so cool that they're teleporting all the time. Like, so you're kind of just watching it like, I hate this, but I love it because it's Samuel Jackson's in it, and he's always awesome in my opinion. And he's the bad guy. Well, the bad guy in it.
Bad guy based on a technicality, like,
yeah, like he doesn't like the fact that these people can teleport and that they're mostly abusing it anyway.
They're absolutely criminals.
Yeah. Like, so I mean, it's hard to side with him, but like you're going based off this one jumper who's. I mean, he robs a lot of banks, but he never hurts anybody. And you're like you're sympathizing with him because he was freaking abused or whatever.
So that and then like, Samuel Jackson's free like, ride to steal shit.
Yeah. Like it's just this weird movie, so bonkers, but it's fun to watch. When you're bored. Anyway, back to Star Wars. Like, but I mean, we talked about the order. Like, if somebody's never seen Star Wars, a good way to introduce it to them, watch 4 and 5. You get an idea of what the Empire is like. Darth Vader, you learn about Luke and Obi-Wan, kind of, and he vaguely talks about the Clone Wars. You don't really know what it is. You find out that Vader's Luke's father, spoiler if you did not know that. I just want to make sure that everyone, well, I already said it before, spoiler alert, so whatever.
Yeah, you're so ass at spoilers.
Like. I'm sorry, I don't even care. and then you find out all that stuff, and then, you know, Empire Strikes Back ends on a cliffhanger. It's just kind of like, because, you know, Luke falls out of the Death Star? No.
Bespin?
Bespin, that's what it is. And what did I say? I said Bespin. Bespin.
Cloud City,
yeah. So he falls down, and him and Leia are staring out the window after he gets his new hand, and they're kind of just like, what now? Han's freaking basically dead to us, as far as we know, because they don't know that he's...
You know the reason they threw him in carbonite at the end of that?
Because he was supposed to die originally.
Well, they didn't know if he was going to be coming back for a sequel, way to take him out but not kill him.
Yeah, which is smart.
They had to do a lot of, like, weird, like, writing stuff into the film for that one.
Yeah, because Return of the Jedi came out four or five years after Empire Strikes Back. A number of years, like, visibly. I mean, especially Mark Hamill, you can tell that he has aged. It's bad.
You know why they did the whole Wampa scene in Empire Strikes Back, right?
Wampa scene?
Yeah, the abominable snow monster. Like,
oh, what about it?
The Mark Hamill got in a really nasty car wreck, and it, like, fucked up his face.
Oh.
And so he had to have reconstructive surgery done. So they note that whenever you see him up to that point in that part of the film, his face is wrapped up the entire time. You never want to see his face. And then the Wampa hits him, and when he's in the Wampa cave, his face is all jacked up and bruised and cut up and shit.
Oh, and like, and then and, after Han saves him, and he's, like, in the floating tank.
Yeah, and then from that point on, you see his face, and his face looks all fucked up. Like, that's the start at which Mark Hamill started looking like a rotting pumpkin. And
which probably led to him going into voice acting and...
Yeah, probably. I mean, like...
And becoming one of the greatest voice actors of our time.
God almighty. But that's... So that's why he looks so much older in Return of the Jedi, is because his face... Like, his facial reconstruction was not...
Why am I just now hearing about this?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like a guarded secret, but it's not really one of those things they really publicized, so...
Huh.
But yeah, so that's what I meant about how they had to do that thing for Han Solo, and they had to do the thing for Luke, and...
Right.
They had to work in a bunch of stuff because of stuff that was outside of the plot, mm-hmm. and it actually made for really memorable stuff.
Yeah, like, it was good. Like, I love the way Empire Strikes Back ends. Yeah, so, you know, you're showing someone, watch 4, 5, that cliffhanger, then you go back and watch 2 and 3, you get this filled in on everything that they've ever talked about, who Anakin is, what the Clone Wars was, and more in depth, you know, the twins, Padme situation with Luke and Leia, which, I mean, you don't really know about in Return of the Jedi. You don't find out, or not Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, you find out in Return of the Jedi that they're brother and sister, but, I mean, no, it's only hinted at in Empire Strikes Back when he's with Yoda. He said there's another, but he's...
Like, I guess it all kind of swims together for me. Like, I...
Well, because we've just known forever.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just ingrained in my...
But I'm saying if someone hadn't seen it, they wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, they're... Because everybody's stuck on that kiss that they shared at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back. So, like I said, like, anyway...
I hear that the reason they had that kiss was because that twist that they were brother and sister was added really late.
That actually makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, it could totally... I think it could be there just to throw you off completely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with it.
Like, yeah, that's how I like to think of it. But anyway, so you go back and watch 2, 3, you get all the exposition, you find out his fall into Darth Vaderhood, and I mean, you're starting at the second one, so you really just have Anakin and Obi-Wan's really kind of tense father-son relationship almost.
Yeah.
And I know they think of each other as brothers, but really it's like Obi-Wan is his spiritual father, and like...
Yeah.
You know, he's disappointed him, and that's why Anakin kind of... I think that pushes him even further. Not only Padme and her whole thing, but... And then, obviously, Palpatine kind of, you know, fucks with his mind. But so then, you have all that knowledge. You go into Return of the Jedi. Everything that you've seen so far, it kind of goes up. And then, you know, when Vader dies and sacrifices him, it's that much more like, oh, man. Like, it's his son he's really just first meeting for the first time. He never had a chance to... But he's trying to redeem himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to save him, like, even if it does mean Luke going to the dark side, which he kind of, you know, hints at already kind of feeling that way anyway.
Yeah.
With all the black and stuff like that. And so I think I wish I hadn't, I could just erase Star Wars out of my mind and watch it in that order. That would be really fun.
Just
like,
never watch Episode 1.
Yeah, never watch it. I freaking just have that experience like that. I think that'd be fun.
If they would release a Star Wars Episode 1, like, super cut edition that was just duel between, or I guess would that still be called a duel since there's 3 of them? Between Obi-Wan,
Duel of Fates.
So. Yeah. Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, and Darth Maul all fighting. But they cut it in a way so that was just an hour and a half long, and I could just watch them fight. Like, that would be great.
We should just call Ray Park and and freaking Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor, and can you guys just, like, refilm all of this? Just get, like, that makeup that makes you look super young and just do that again?
That would be spectacular.
And like, not have George Lucas direct it or write it? That would be amazing. I would be all for that.
That duel was incredible, though. Like,
yeah. I agree. And not just so much, like, mostly just the choreography was retarded cool. Like,
yeah.
Ray Park is seriously one of my favorite, like, martial artists. Like, he's so awesome. I mean, he plays Snake Eyes, and you're not a huge fan of the G.I. Joe movies.
Nah.
But
he also plays... Toad in
yes, he does. X-Men. Yeah, that's right. That's like one of his few speaking roles, like, really.
Yeah.
Because he says 2 things as Darth Maul. He never talks to Snake Eyes because Snake Eyes doesn't talk.
You know, he only blinks once on screen in The Phantom Menace?
No.
Right after he gets cut in half, he blinks and then, you know, falls down.
Is that
the...
part of Darth Maul's thing as a species? Or...
What, the Zabrak? No, I don't think so. I think that it's just filmed in such a way that he's just constantly making crazy eyes. Like, I feel like that was not a intended decision, but it totally kind of makes the character because it's like, he blinks and it seems like a, holy shit, did that really just happen? And then, you know, he didn't die there,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, I was just about to talk about that. He gets, like, robotic legs.
Yeah, robot pants. And
what happens? Like, where does he go after that?
He is a pain in Obi-Wan's ass the entirety of the Clone Wars. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, he
like, and his... the animated one?
Yeah.
That actually, sorry to cut you off, but that actually just finished finished, and they finally released all 5 seasons in a box set.
Definitely gonna need to pick that up, because those things are fucking sweet.
Now that we're talking about it, I completely forgot it existed until now, so since Amazon is having their crazy low sales, I'm gonna have to jump on that.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that out, because I'm all about that. That series was way better than I thought it was gonna be.
Well, see, for me, I've never actually watched... I've seen one episode of that whole entire series.
I watched several of them. I think the thing that I like about them is that it's not like you watch episode 1 through episode 17 and it's a continuous story.
Yeah, they're like jumping around a lot.
They're like vignettes almost. Like you get like an idea of each.
Like each episode could almost be a standalone
thing. Yeah.
Okay. And I think that was kind of the point, because especially on a network like Cartoon Network, you can't keep up with, you know, something so ambiguous like that. Like especially like Adventure Time, like none of the episodes like have really anything to do with each other.
There's continuity, but it's not like...
But yeah, because if you start an episode, you just, oh, okay, they do this, that, they do that. Like, they kind of need that, especially because, you know, the people are just kind of jumping in and going back. It doesn't follow the same schedule as, you know, primetime television at all.
Yeah.
So they have to have that, and that makes sense, and that's good. So I'm going to definitely check that out.
Oh, yeah, but he's a pain in his ass for the entirety of the Clone Wars, alongside his brother, Savage Opress.
Yes, I've heard about that.
Which, between the two of them, they are an amazing pair of villains. And then the first time that they actually show Darth Maul with his robot pants in any of the extended universe was not actually in the Clone Wars cartoon. It was actually in a one-shot comic that was, I think it was Obi-Wan dropping off Luke at Owen and Beru's place. Mm. He's being followed by some dude, like, out in the desert as he's going to drop off Luke. He's like, well, I better keep an eye on this guy. And then the guy shows up and whips off his cloak, and it's fucking Darth Maul again. And he's like, oh, I'm so fucking sick of you. And then they duel outside of Owen and Beru's house, and then he kills him, I think. Like, pretty sure he kills him for real at that one. I only vaguely remember it, but...
It would have been cooler if, like, he didn't kill him for real, and then he comes up in Star Wars 7, and it's Ray Park again. Because he is on a roll with this freaking G.I. Joe. Like, oh man, that would be crazy. My mind would be incredibly blown.
But, I mean, like, they're already basically saying, fuck the extended universe anyway, so...
Yeah, I've heard that.
They could totally bring back Darth Maul.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what we do know, I mean, casting descriptions and stuff, I mean, they're definitely going for Han and Leia's daughter and son.
I forget their names, like Jason and something like that.
Because as far as I know, the female is going to be the main focus of the movie. She's going to be the main character.
Interesting.
So, and I don't know where her brother's going to come into play at that. Or doesn't he turns evil, right?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure he goes to the dark side.
I know that Luke eventually becomes a Sith Lord. Like,
that's cool.
Which is, that's a mind fuck. Like,
I don't think they're going to do that in the movie. Because they keep saying that Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford's come back. Disney has never once confirmed that. It's just been like those three people being like, oh yeah, we've had meetings and we're pretty sure we're going to come back. Yeah, totally. We'll be there. But you don't really know.
And I don't want to see Mark Hamill like that, because he definitely looks like if you brushed up against him too hard, he would explode into a cloud of ash. So,
well, I heard, like, in one of the things I was talking about him coming back was that I'm pretty sure it was somebody involved with the studio. And I think they were just talking out of their ass at the time. But they were like, oh yeah, like if he does come back, you know, Disney wants him to get into shape and look better for the part. At least look like a believable Jedi Master. Like, even if he's not, you know, active, but like...
Well, yeah, because I mean, like, Harrison Ford, we just saw him in Ender's Game not too long ago, and he's still...
He didn't really do anything physical, but he can walk around.
He looked the part of a...
Of a general that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's cool, but I'm just excited for Star Wars 7.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's all those people that bitch about it. They're like, oh, it's Disney. Shut the fuck up.
Well, I mean, it's always been under the Disney banner, really. It's just Disney now officially owns Lucasfilms, and they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, and it's banner. Like, those people that bitch about it, are they forgetting the Avengers, Tron, Pirates of the Caribbean? Like, these things,
wow,
they...
It's a lot. When you put it like that...
It's they've got it under control.
Yeah, like, even like, with... They had the Lone Ranger. Sure, I heard it was a dud. I never saw it myself. I'd probably enjoy it, because I like movies like that, but...
Maximum butt poop. Like,
yeah, I probably would like it. I have a really inherent ability to like movies that everyone hates. Like, no matter what. Like, Speed Racer, everybody hated that movie. I love that movie. Like, to death. It's one of my favorite. Point is, look at the budget, though. Regardless of how that movie turned out...
Yeah, dude, they've...
That movie's gonna be crazy huge. Like, the sets are gonna look ridiculous. I mean, and Star Wars Attack of the Clones is actually... I feel weird, like I'm gonna get stabbed saying this. Is one of my favorite Star Wars movies because of the whole thing on Coruscant when they're looking for the bounty hunter, and that works...
Oh, God, that was fucking awesome. Like,
that makes me want an entire movie on Coruscant. Or entire... Just, like, even if it's a TV show, like on ABC or something.
Like a Legend Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type thing, but it's like... Just a couple of, like, cops on Coruscant.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. And, you know, they had a game in development, Star Wars 1313. Took place on Coruscant.
Oh, it was Boba Fett, right?
No. You're just a random bounty hunter.
Could have sworn 1313 was Boba Fett.
It wasn't Boba Fett. I promise you. I saw gameplay and stuff and news, and it was in development. It wasn't Boba Fett. I'm pretty sure sure he had a cameo in it or something. You deal with him, but it wasn't, he wasn't, you're not playing as him.
Interesting.
So like, yeah, but you're going to this level, you know, 1313 level place in Coruscant to go collect a bounty or something like that. And of course, you know, you run into a bunch of other gangs and crazy stuff.
It sounds like it's like one of those things where it's like you've got like a routine thing that you're trying to accomplish, and then like your day just goes to crap.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's, I mean, that's how the gameplay demo that I saw was, they're descending into this like circular level, and then something happens, it blows up, and they're the crate thing or whatever that it's on, or the ship, that's what it is, their ship is going down, and somebody blows it up, and they're having a gunfight, and then you jump on the outside, and you're on the wing, and you're falling, and you're climbing, and it's like becomes this whole Uncharted scene where, you know, everything's breaking, and you're trying to survive this whole thing, and it looked amazing. But of course, after Disney bought LucasArts, Lucasfilm, they dissolved LucasArts the gaming, so that put that game in development hell, basically, where they stopped making it. I don't know if they're going to continue it, because it looked damn near complete. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to come out at the beginning of next year, so I really hope that they continue. But Coruscant in general, really cool, is my favorite. Oh, and actually, I was going to mention this earlier. Right around the time after, sometime after Episode 1 came out and before Episode 2, I found this book called something Darth, it was just called Darth Maul or something like that, and it was about Darth Maul, the lead up to what he was doing in Phantom Menace, and he was on Coruscant. He was sent by Palpatine to, he was basically an assassin. Like, he was still training and stuff like that. He was assassin. He went to go, he killed a bunch of Hutts, and it like, took place all in Coruscant. It was the cool, one of the coolest books ever. Yeah, I don't know what Hutts were doing on Coruscant. I didn't know they were on Coruscant.
I mean, it's basically a race of gangsters, so that's true. Yeah, crime, like,
yeah. I don't know. It was one of the coolest books I've ever read.
Pretty racist comment, actually. Like, ooh, race of gangsters.
But Hutts are, that's the Hutts of gangsters. That black guy says. What? You don't remember that in Phantom Menace when they're after they get off Naboo, they're flying to they're going to Coruscant, but they realize that they're an engine drive or their whatever thing, they're not going to make it that far, so they have to stop in Tatooine. And Qui-Gon just like, we should stop there. It's not controlled by the Federation or whatever. It's controlled by the Hutts. And this black guy who's the security guard lead, he's like, we can't take the queen there. The Hutts are gangsters.
No recollection of that.
That's
amazing.
We're actually going to take a break. It's been about a half an hour, so we're going to take a break right now. While we're doing that, I'm going to pull up this clip, and then when we come back, I'll play it. But we'll be back in a second. And we're back from our break. So we were talking about Star Wars. We're going to move on from that. We listened to the clip. You can't take a Royal Highness here. The Hutts are gangsters.
The Hutts are gangsters.
Yeah, love that. But so we're going to move on from Star Wars. We talked about mostly the main movies. In a later episode, we're going to delve into Extended Universe video games, Star Wars video games, which I absolutely love. And then, you know, we'll talk about more about that. But anyway, now we want to talk about action movies. Mainly the Fast and Furious franchise. I'm sure by the time you've stumbled upon this podcast, you're well aware of Paul Walker's sudden and tragic demise, ironically in a sports car going incredibly fast, and it's really weird. To a damn charity event, which is awesome. It was for relief for the Philippines, the tsunami. It's admirable, but it sucks that happened. But anyway, so I'm a huge fan of the Fast and Furious movies.
I am absolutely not a huge fan.
And I understand that, like, because, I mean, going through the movies, the first one, you know, that was introduction, like, yeah, street racing, cool. The second one, I don't even care about, honestly. The only thing you get out of that movie is Tyrese, who ends up being a main character in the later ones, and he's actually the comic relief, and I really like his character. But in that one, it's like, ugh, I don't need all that. Oh, and Ludacris, sorry.
Is he the one who looks like a skinny Terry Crews?
Yeah, he is. Okay. And then Ludacris, who of course becomes their tech guy in the later ones. And then, so the third one is technically, if we're going in the order that came out, is Tokyo Drift, which everyone knows had nothing to do with them. And a lot of people were like, what is this? A, it had drifting in it, so that's all I care about. And B, Han, which ends up being one of the coolest and actually a really tragic character in the later ones. It's just, I think it's really fun. The acting's horrible, but it's an action movie. What else do you want from it? And then the fourth one was a few years later after that one, and it was kind of boring. It was mostly exposition. It was Paul Walker's character. He was a cop again, and then he decides that he's like, you know what? Fucking, I'm gonna be a fucking bad guy. And they end up like,
what did they call that one? The fourth one?
It's just Fast and Furious.
They didn't call it the Fast and the Furious.
Oh my god, huge missed opportunity on their part. On Universal, they fucked up on that,
because I was sitting here thinking about it. I was like, what was the fourth one called? Was it just Fast and Furious 4? I'm like,
no, it's Fast and, oh my god, that's amazing. That never even occurred to me. But anyway, so which is a directly, Letty, Michelle Rodriguez's character, she dies, you find out. So in the fifth movie, they're fugitives, they they rob a dude.
Which, side note, I'm really proud of Michelle Rodriguez for lasting more than one movie.
What do you mean?
In all of her movies, she's the sassy Latina who dies.
Oh,
so,
good point.
Good job for making it through three movies.
No, two, because she was only in the first one and then the fourth one, which you find out she dies, which is why Vin Diesel and Paul Walker end up becoming villains or doing whatever the hell they do in that one. If they're running across the border with a bunch of merchandise, something like that. And then, like I said, the fifth one, they pretty much all the characters, all the cool characters from their subsequent movies, you find out, because Han dies in Tokyo Drift, if you didn't know that.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's going to become a thing. Like, I'm just going to say, like, something that you didn't know, and then, oh, yeah, by the way, spoiler alert.
Damn it.
But anyway, yeah, so he's in those ones, because they take place before Tokyo Drift. Tokyo Drift is after all these movies. And so, in the fifth one, they do their thing, and then the sixth one, what happens? Oh, yeah, it's a team of street racers that are really, really evil, and...
Like the Cobra Kai of street racers?
Yeah, exactly. The Cobra Kai street racing dojo, I don't know. They, The Rock recruits Dom's team to, which is Vin Diesel, Dom's team to go stop them, because apparently the only reason to stop them is with racing.
He recruits them? I'm going to keep making stupid puns.
You're on fire with puns tonight.
I have nothing to contribute to Fast and the Furious.
That's cool. I'm just doing a really long recap. I'm going to speed up. Okay, so anyway.
Speed up?
Love it. Oh my God. So in the sixth one, they helped blah, 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 and they kill the main bad guy, who ends up, you find out, being Jason Statham's little brother, which is so awesome. And he actually, Jason Statham, kills Han at the end of Tokyo Drift because his revenge for them killing his brother.
Oh, okay.
So, and then the seventh one is after Tokyo Drift. The seventh one is the first one that's after Tokyo Drift, and they're all meeting up to commemorate Han's death and stuff. And it's so sad the way he goes out, because his girlfriend dies, and that's why he goes to Tokyo, and then Tokyo he dies. It's so fucked up. And he's the most likable character, too, in my opinion. Yeah, so now the seventh one is going to be Jason Statham getting revenge on them, and Tony Jaa is going to be in it.
That's awesome. Exciting.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that.
I hope he delivers a flying knee to the side of a car.
It might be the first movie that, if you don't like the Fast and Furious movies, you might have something to enjoy about it, because it's all these, like, it's going to be like the Expendables of racing, basically.
I mean, it has most of the cast of the Expendables, it sounds like, so...
Literally only one person.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. I don't know why, I guess I just assumed that Vin Diesel was in the Expendables, but no.
I wish he was.
Totally isn't.
That'd be awesome. So anyway, that's the whole Fast franchise. But now, I mean, it's going to be weird with Paul Walker dead in the middle of filming the seventh one, how they're going to rectify that. I think they should put Tom Cruise in his place. Just have him have his character get facial reconstructive surgery and then look like Tom Cruise.
Said, now, why is it that you chose Tom Cruise?
Because I was watching Mission Impossible all day.
Oh, okay. So it's not because he has Cruise in his name?
Oh my God. That's amazing. Fast and Furious 7, Cruise Control.
Holy shit. We need to get you to some movie execs, like, right now.
Yeah, I know. Why are we working at Universal just, like, pitching the titles of their movies? They all they have to do is give us a quick synopsis of the film, and we'll just freaking come up with, you know...
Movie titles? That's our specialty? Like,
that'd be so awesome. What they need to do is do a crossover of Fast and Furious and the Mission Impossible movies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pacific Rim.
No.
Can you imagine?
I want Godzilla, Pacific Rim, and nothing else. Like, Pacific Rim and... never mind.
And Tron?
Transformers. Oh, okay. I almost threw up as I said it. Because you know how I feel about Transformers, but...
You don't feel that way about Transformers, you feel that way about Michael Bay.
Seeps down into the Transformers fold.
Okay.
Which, I mean, they're filming the fourth one right now. I will absolutely not see that movie, even though
Isn't Shia LaBeouf, isn't he not going to be in this
one? Yeah, he's not going to be in it. It's going to be... Mark Wahlberg is going to be the main character, and then his daughter, for some reason, and her boyfriend. And the daughter is played by this actress, Nicola Peltz, or something like that. She was actually Katara in that shitty live-action Last Airbender
movie. Oh, good.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun.
That movie that didn't happen and doesn't exist?
Yeah, that theoretically existed somewhere that somebody told me about, and that's what I'm going off of.
Yeah.
The idea of it existing is shitty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that, I mean, that's, I don't know, it's called Age of Extinction. I don't know much more than that. I don't know enough about Transformers. I never watched it as a kid, so I don't know what they're going to do.
It's just boring.
I don't care about, it's not that, I like giant robots when people are piloting them, but I don't care about sentient robots just like, burp, burp, burp. If it's going to be a sentient robot, it should be terminating something.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
And I mean, the Decepticons try to do that, but it's like, once you've established that there are cars that can exist and also turn into giant robots, like, they no longer need to turn into cars, because now we've established that we are aware that these robots exist, we're aware that they're walking around, so they're not fooling anybody at this point.
Yeah.
And in Transformers 3, the second one, actually. Yes, the second one. Did you see the second one?
I saw the second one in IMAX, and I'm really butthurt about it.
I'm calling into question the one that was totally totally just a Terminator. It was a Transformer that could turn into a girl. Like that was its thing.
Oh, it was that.
Once you have that, you no longer chick? Like that. That has made all of the other Transformers obsolete because they can now pose as human beings.
Yeah, like, I actually never thought about that. That's really creepy.
Yeah, and so they instead of going,
wasn't she like a scorpion type thing too? Like,
well, she had a fucking scorpion tail, but
yeah,
is.
That was actually a tie-in to the Spider-Man movie, that villain that never happened.
Really?
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. I'm joking. Oh, the Scorpion.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, wow, that's really cool. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. You're fucking with me.
Right? I'd be really upset if Spider-Man had anything to do with Transformers. That would make me so sad.
Which Spider-Man, though? The Tobey Maguire one where he became emo and walked down the street pelvic thrusting at women?
I guess if it was the third one, then I wouldn't be that mad because I don't give a shit about that movie.
One was so fucking awful.
It was so weird. Like, and I remember seeing that in theaters, like, and I went and saw it with my dad, and we're just like busting up laughing at this dude just like strutting down the street, and we're like, is this like supposed to be serious right now?
I think they did it to be joking and funny, but like
it was
whole,
too far.
Yeah, because the whole thing about him getting the symbiote was that he was no longer dorky dweeby Peter Parker. He became this like suave, threatening, confident, yeah. Like confident, and it was like, take that away. Like now we're like, well, the symbiote's not cool at all. Yeah. Like, a symbiote makes you a
disco loving, freaking piano playing,
like
jazz.
There was a dance scene.
Yeah,
there was a fucking musical number. Like,
yeah, and just to make Mary Jane jealous was what it was with Gwen Stacy, which was a horrible use of that character, in my opinion. I'm kind of butthurt that happened, and I'm pretty sure after that he never sees Gwen Stacy again for the rest of the movie, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember anything about that movie.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens. She's like, oh, you did this for her? And then she apologizes to Mary Jane, runs out of the bar. You never see her for the rest of the movie, because then Venom goes after Mary Jane and puts her in this web, and then he finds Sandman.
I refuse to acknowledge that was Venom.
Sorry,
Topher fucking Grace, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, because I remember when they're like, Topher Grace is playing it. No, actually, this was before I followed movie news, so I didn't know who was playing it. Saw the movie, I was like, Topher Grace? Eddie Brock is a huge dude.
Yeah, like they should have had Kevin Nash play Eddie Brock. Like, that's...
Who is Kevin Nash?
Tom Jane, the Punisher. Mm-hmm. He played the Russian.
Oh,
that should have been Eddie Brock.
That's a little too big.
I disagree. I think, like, if you look in the comics, he was fucking enormous.
Yeah.
And Venom is fucking enormous.
Like, yeah, and Venom is even bigger than Eddie Brock.
Yeah, and, like, absolutely should have been Kevin Nash.
My ideal, like, vision of Eddie Brock mostly comes from, like, when I obsessively used to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people always picked Venom for some reason.
Because he could do that. Awesome.
Because he could do that. Oh, no, it was so annoying. He was such a... Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, he would, like, when it starts, you know, everybody's like, oh, and they do their little taunt thing, like, right before it goes round one in their fight. Eddie Brock, or when you're Venom, and he's your first player, he jumps out, and it's Eddie Brock, and then he goes, and, like, turns in. But he's built huge. He's like how Flash Thompson was in the first Spider-Man. Remember, and they fight that giant dude, Joe... I can't remember his name. That actor actually almost played Superman in the new Man of Steel movie.
Okay.
Joe Mangiello.
You could have made up any last name.
Mangiello.
Wouldn't have made a difference.
He's on True Blood. He plays a werewolf on True Blood.
Oh, good. On True Blood, that other show that I don't watch.
Oh, good. That show that is actually terrible, but I feel shameful because you keep watching it, and you're up all night watching it. It's just sad. And can we move on anyway?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they the whole, and the only thing they got right in that whole entire movie, I feel like, was the portrayal of Sandman. That was the only thing. One thing I didn't like was his learning curve for being Sandman was a little shallow. He was just like, I'm sand. Now I'm human.
Got it under control.
I get these powers now.
It was very, very tragic the way that they did him becoming Sandman the first time, like, when he vaporized, turned into sand, and, like, him trying to come out of the sand was really...
Kind of hard. It makes you feel like you're stuck in sand, and you're, like, kind of hard to breathe.
Yeah.
Come on, you can do it.
Like, and I felt really bad for him. Yeah. Like, and then he's a very tragic character, very good choice of actor.
Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church, fantastic.
Very good actor.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw Sideways of Paul Giamatti, who is now a Spider-Man villain in the new Spider-Man series.
Playing the Rhino for some reason.
Actually, I saw a leaked poster for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Had Green Goblin on it, so we might see him in the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Of course, Electro. And then what looked like Rhino. Unfortunately, what made me sad was it was more like akin to the Silver Samurai portrayal in the Wolverine movie, where it's like a robot, like, thing.
That's annoying.
Yeah, so it was really blurry, so it's hard to tell until we see, like, the trailer or whatever, you know, clips from it.
So what makes you more mad? Silver Samurai being a robot? robot samurai or the Sentinels in the new X-Men.
Silver Samurai being a robot.
You're totally cool with the vacuum cleaner chest.
I'm not cool with that at all, but asked me, which makes me more upset.
I kind of backed you into a hole there. But.
Yeah, because, okay, God. Okay, first of all, Silver Samurai is a mutant. His power is like, he's kind of like Gambit. Like, he puts energy into things. And sure, yeah, he can cut adamantium. That was like his whole thing. Like, that's what his challenge or Wolverine's challenge was, fighting him. But when you put an old dude that you completely forgot existed in the movie, have you seen the Wolverine?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's start from the beginning. Sorry. The chick that could see into the future, she's like, oh, I didn't see this guy's death coming. I see everyone's death. You're like, okay, I'm sorry that happened to you. The guy's dead now. And she's all butthurt about it. And the movie goes on. You completely forgot that happened. Didn't even care. I don't care. They can totally hint at, first of all, do you remember the Japanese guy who was like basically the Japanese Hawkeye?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that character's name, he is the original Silver Samurai.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's either going to be Silver Samurai or that evil guy that runs the corporation who's in a bunch of movies, and I love that actor, actually.
Dressed up like a samurai at one point.
I'm like, okay, obviously one of those two is going to be Silver Samurai, and even if that guy he's kind of good, like he's almost on Wolverine's side because they're protecting that same girl, you know, even if he becomes Silver Samurai in some diluted sense to protect her to fight Wolverine, that I'm totally cool with that. But then Silver Samurai, it's like this giant robot, and you're like, that's weird, why is that happening? Okay, maybe, you know, that's just the suit that he wears and he'll use his mutant power to do something. No, it activates, and I was like, now it's just a robot? Like, they completely neglected the fact that it's supposed to be a human. Okay, that's whatever. Then it's this old guy? He's alive? Why is he alive? Like, oh, he never actually died? How was I supposed to... Oh, because they briefly mentioned that they see his death.
Foreshadowed it.
Yeah, so poorly, in my opinion. And also, it doesn't matter that they did it so poorly that she didn't see it. Her visions were wrong anyway, because she was like, Wolverine, I see you on the table, and your heart is out of your chest, and there's blood everywhere. Okay, fast forward, let's get to that scene. He's on the table, okay, that's good. That's no, she sat on the floor, first of all. She sat on the floor with blood in your hand, your heart in your hand, or something like that.
Yeah, like, heart in hand.
Yeah, so he climbs up on the operation table, and you're like, okay, that's not the floor. Then there's no blood whatsoever. There's no blood. He sticks his hand inside of his chest. You're like, okay, he's gonna rip out his heart, pull that bug thing off, and stick it back in like a badass. He goes, this bug thing's out of me. Now I have my healing back.
And then he died for a minute. Like,
did he die for a minute?
Yeah, he totally died for a second, and then...
I don't remember him dying for a minute. I just remember being so blatantly, like, enraged that any of this was happening at all. So, like, totally gloss over that part in my mind.
That whole movie was kind of ass. Like,
yeah, and there was only two mutants that entire movie. Wolverine and that girl that could predict the future, which she never did accurately.
Predictions sucked butthole.
Yeah.
And what about fucking...
The Viper chick. Who is that? That's like Poison Ivy with a tongue. Like,
Poison Ivy had a tongue.
With a lizard tongue.
Oh, okay.
And then she got bald. I was like, she was like kind of hot and like the only hot one in this movie, and then she's bald? Like, why?
That whole movie was pretty ass.
Apparently, the unrated version that comes out on DVD next week, I believe, or in 2 days or something, it has an unrated cut where Wolverine says fuck 3 times in the movie. That's fine. Only 3 times, which I wish it was more, but that's at least they did it at all.
Yeah.
And then there's the scene where right before he goes to the final showdown with Silver Samurai, and there's the ninjas in the snow and they're shooting him stuff. Apparently, that scene's way longer and like super bloody. But it sounds like it's just blood mist. Spray, like, psst,
okay, because
like, akin to like Kill Bill or something.
Yeah, but, like one of the old samurai western
type. Yeah, that's what it sounds like, but the way it's described to me is probably not going to be what I imagine in my mind.
Yeah,
therefore I'm not going to buy it.
I want to see a rated R, balls to the wall, realistic
Wolverine
movie.
Even if it wasn't Hugh Jackman, I would totally be okay with that. As long as he looks like Wolverine, says the F word a lot, has a cigar, says bub at least. Bub. As long as he just goes bub and fuck the entire movie. That would be.
And then cuts people in half. So like, yeah. the movie would be like bub, bub, fuck, bub, bub. Fuck bub, snicket.
Fuck you, say bub.
Bub.
See, okay, what they should do? Since,
are you bubbing me, bub?
Since that's obviously not gonna happen, they could do his son. Was it Dakin or something?
Dakin,
like?
Yeah.
Dakin. They just have a freaking like something like that, like Wolverine's son, or just call it like Wolverine's shadow, and just have a Dakin movie where he is like just completely like bub. Disregard for anybody's life. But he always says bub, but he doesn't know why. Like it's just like a thing he says. He's like bub.
You're like a,
what's
like
that?
A, like a tick, like,
yeah. I don't know. That would be infinitely better. That. And then we don't have to worry about like people being butthurt that it's not Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. It could be a completely different actor.
Aaron Johnson.
Why do you just want Aaron Johnson to be in it? Yeah,
I literally he could be in any movie. There such a go. Chameleon. Such a good actor, oh. Aaron Johnson.
See, that's how I feel about The Rock. Even though he's not a chameleon, he could just be in all the movies. Yeah, I'd be really happy about it.
As The Rock, like,
because think about it, like at least for franchise films, every franchise film that he's been in, it's been better. Like Fast and Furious, the fifth one was where everybody's like, oh my god, the series is amazing, like, because he was in that.
No, it totally wasn't because he was in that. He's such a crappy actor because he acts like he's the fucking wrestling ring all the time.
Oh my god, he's this
over the top hammy actor. I'm not entertained by him. I don't hate him being in movies. I actually love him being in movies, but he's a crap actor.
Have you ever seen G.I. Joe Retaliation?
No.
Then shut your mouth.
Okay, you're basing that off of one movie.
So?
Have you seen Scorpion King?
Yes, I have.
Have you seen Fast and Furious 5?
Of course I have. We've talked about this.
I know. I'm making a point.
Okay.
Have you seen, what was it, the fucking, the Tooth Fairy, or what movie was he?
The Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy? Have you seen?
No.
Have you seen that? Okay. Like,
I saw Journey to the Mysterious Island.
Okay. Yeah. And he was ass in that.
He was fantastic in that.
He just goes around yelling a lot and then arching his eyebrow at things.
What? What Rock movies are you watching? Like, he barely yells. Like, he has an intensity to him, but he's not like Nicolas Cage, just like, Like, maybe, I think this is just, like, what you've developed in your mind, like, seeing tidbits, and you're just piecing it all together, and that's how you remember it. But if you actually watch, like, his stuff, you're just like, you're gonna be like, oh, I guess.
All right, we're gonna sit down and watch a marathon of Rock films.
Movies. Okay.
Anything that has The Rock in it, we'll purchase it, and
can we not watch Walking Tall, though? I hate that movie.
That's going on the list.
I don't like that movie.
We have to. Fine. If we're gonna watch the fucking Tooth Fairy, we're gonna watch.
Oh, we're watching the Tooth Fairy?
Yes.
What's the one where he's, like, a football player, and he has a daughter?
The Longest Yard?
No. Like, he
remember the Titans?
She helps him do
Friday Night Lights?
No. I don't remember what it's called.
That other movie with Denzel
Washington. We'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. But yeah, sure. We'll have a Rock marathon. We'll do this over our break from work, and we'll watch all the Rock movies and all the Tom Cruise movies.
Sucks so much balls.
And I just want to watch Tom Cruise movies.
I was about to say, you're just like...
Have you seen Oblivion yet?
No, I haven't seen Oblivion
yet. Oh, God. You gotta watch that.
I have not seen very many movies recently. I've missed out.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get into that. But back to action movies. We kind of got sidetracked there really hard.
Yeah, we were talking about action
So movies. I was saying I watched all the Mission Impossible Marathon. I actually skipped the first one because I don't really care about that one. But the second one... Have you seen a John Woo movie before?
Yeah.
Like Face Off, or yeah. I don't know what else he done, so I'm just basing
like... Yeah, I've seen a few John Woo movies.
Okay. John Woo directed the second one. Okay. And you can imagine like how it is. Like, there are certain things that I actually like watching it now. Like, I mean, I used to watch it when I was a kid, so I had, you know, certain memories of it. But when I watch it now, like, I really hate that, like, there's this one specific scene, and I'm going to make you watch it one day. You'll see what I'm talking about. But he's spinning out in a car, and there's this super hot girl, Thandie Newton, in this other car, and they're spinning out together, like, on this cliff. And they're, like, staring at each other, and it's, like, in slow motion as they're spinning out. Like, and I'm just like, that is so weird. Like, I don't need that. And it's just... Maybe it's just early 2000s or like late 90s cinematography, but it was just so weird. Or John Woo's personal style. He loves slow motion not in the way that Zack Snyder uses slow motion. It's just like his is so much more intimate, and it just makes you really uncomfortable, like staring at these people.
Yeah.
But anyway, the rest of the movie is pretty awesome.
You remember when I was going through that phase where I was playing all the Fear games again?
Yes.
The gunplay in that was specifically modeled after gunfighting in John Woo movies. All the way down to the slow motion mechanic in there was put in there basically because of his love of slow motion.
Hmm.
So that's...
There's a game that actually John Woo made with Chun Yao Fat as the main character.
I can't remember what the game's called.
But you know the game I'm talking about. And you could jump and do the slow motion. It's kind of like how Enter the Matrix. I don't know if you ever played that. Like, yeah, you could do a lot of slow motion. Max Payne was really the one that started it all.
Slow motion dive.
Yeah, as far as like video games go. Yeah. But I don't know how much John Woo actually influenced that, but
I don't doubt that he influenced it a lot.
No, yeah, absolutely.
He definitely changed the face of gunfights in film.
Yeah, but back to Mission Impossible 2, like, the story's kind of like, it's not really that compelling, but just the action in it is so amazing. And the final showdown between Ethan Hunt, which is Tom Cruise's character, Ethan Hunt and this evil guy, is almost the exact same showdown at the end of Face Off with Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, when they finally switch, they haven't switched back yet, that's right, they're just fighting, and then Nicolas Cage is John Travolta
wins and then gets his face back or whatever, which is still so weird. And yeah, and then like the third Mission Impossible movie is directed by J.J. Abrams. Okay. So you can imagine, and Philip Seymour Hoffman is the bad guy in that movie.
I've noticed that J.J. Abrams is basically directing every single movie right now. Like,
he's after Star Trek, like what he did with those, that he's a hot, like he knows how to make action compelling and entertaining. And there's a lot of people that will argue with me that they have no depth and the whole Khan thing was just a rehash. And yes, sure, he's in control of those movies, but he didn't write them. He's just solely taking what's written and make it compelling and visually beautiful and all that stuff. And I really commend what he did, well, given what he was written.
He was also responsible for Cloverfield and Super 8, was
that? That's right. He didn't direct Cloverfield, but he, you know, had a hand in that, but he did direct Super 8.
And for all the bitching that was done about Cloverfield, I think it was a really well-made film.
And it's funny you say that. I still hear, like, or not hear, but, like, when I read a lot of articles, like, anything in reference to J.J. Abrams, Cloverfield is mentioned a lot. Like, it's still, to a lot of people, it's still, like, a pretty big deal, like, as far as, like, because, I mean, Blair Witch, you know, started the whole found footage thing, and up until then, like, after Blair Witch kind of died out, there was really nothing until
there wasn't a lot of found footage for a while, which
until Cloverfield brought that back.
I love found footage as a genre. I know you're not crazy about it.
It depends on the movie for me.
The reason I like found footage so much is the immersiveness of it is much higher.
Yeah.
Because it's able to be like, well, this really happened, like, yeah, even though you know for a fact it didn't, yeah, but it still helps you get into the film a lot more.
What's fun about, did you ever see Chronicle?
No, I still need to see that.
Oh yeah, that's super found footage. It's awesome. But like, what's cool about found footage is like they make it on a micro budget basically. Yeah. And then, you know, it turns around and makes so much profit. So, I mean, all the money that they put in, they get back exponentially. So, these studios have money to make their bigger films and make them even better, which I love. And they're not afraid to, well, more often than not, you know, they'll have more confidence to put more money into something, yeah, like, yeah, so we can get a better Star Trek, a better Star Wars, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, back to Mission Impossible, J.J. Abrams, like, that, I hadn't seen that movie until I watched it earlier tonight, and, God, it is crazy good. Like, just the story in that one's so much better because, you know, like, spies, you know, they can't really have families and stuff like that. Yeah. In this one, Ethan Hunt, he, after, in between the second and the third one, he's basically just been training recruits to this agency, and he has a girlfriend, that's his whole thing, and then so, you know, the conflict becomes this villain being aware of his, you know, family. And so that becomes a huge thing. And it's really like, you really feel for this guy. And then the fourth one, the fourth one is a thrill ride from beginning to end. And it has Simon Pegg in it. Everybody loves Simon Pegg. But the beginning opens with this chase, like, this agent doing all this crazy. Oh my God, I love those movies. And I was talking about it with a friend at work. The Fast and the Furious, and with how it's going now, since it's been picking up and they've been figuring out how to make it better to a bigger audience.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with Mission Impossible being the way it is, I love those movies. But those are two series that they could just kind of go on forever, and I would be totally cool with it. And as long as they keep it even at the quality it is now, it doesn't have to get any better. If it's at the quality it is now, I will watch those movies until the day I die. It's just one of those things. And I mean, it's the fifth Mission Impossible is Tom Cruise is coming back. So it's going to be the same character. That's so cool to me.
You know what I'm looking forward to? 47 Ronin movie that's coming out.
Oh yeah. Another fun action movie.
I don't know why every time you say Tom Cruise, I think it's because Tom Cruise was in The Last Samurai.
Oh yeah.
And so like for some reason,
replace him with Keanu Reeves.
I'm always, every time I think of 47 Ronin, I see Tom Cruise in The Last Samurai as Keanu Reeves, and like that movie looks absolutely stellar. Yeah. Like,
you know what's cool about that? Like, I noticed in the trailer, they're like, something you half breed. It's a cool way to justify a white dude being in that culture, mm-hmm, because Keanu Reeves kind of looks like he has a touch of the tar brush, as so to speak.
He is half breed, as far as I understand.
Like, he's really,
yeah,
of Asian descent.
I believe so. Yeah,
and that makes and I think that's awesome. Like, as opposed to them just being like, oh, this random white dude here in this culture, like.
Touch of the tar brush, by the way. What the?
That is from Aziz Ansari. He talks about it being like he was reading a bunch of racial slurs, and that's a white person who has seemingly some like characteristics of like a Asian or European descent or something like that.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be an insult, like, you have a touch of the tar brush.
Interesting.
Really, a racist thing to say. And it's just really funny, so yeah. I like to.
Okay, because I was like a touch of the tar brush. I was like, is it like a tar baby thing? And no. I'm like, that's.
But Keanu Reeves definitely has a touch of the tar brush.
Yeah, a little bit.
As far as I know. And freaking. Oh, speaking of Keanu Reeves in action movies, Point Break. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes.
Fantastic. I love that movie. It's.
Yeah, it's not a bad film.
It's such a 90s film, but it's.
Yeah.
It's just really fun.
It is. Like, yeah. Distilled 90s.
Yeah, it's just such a fun movie to watch. And, like, I heard that they were doing a remake, or, like, they're thinking about a remake. I don't even know. Like, with the focus being extreme sports, because, I mean, they just did skydiving and surfing in Point Break, you know. But I think that's what Fast and Furious was kind of a remake for that. Like, a reboot of that idea of a cop going into this high-octane, adrenaline-filled thrill ride. But, you know, that kind of turned into its own thing. And so, like, but, I mean, I hope they don't do a remake. I'm a huge fan of remakes. I love remakes.
I'm a big fan of remakes. That's why I want to do the Flash Gordon remake.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. But I really don't. I don't think they should do a Point Break remake unless Keanu Reeves is in it.
Yeah.
It should be a really distant sequel. That would be so sweet. I don't care what anybody says. I understand that Keanu Reeves isn't. He's not a strong actor. He's very stiff. But the roles that he takes work so well for his acting ability. He never takes on anything that he can't. That you're not just like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of how, not to that degree about Nicolas Cage, but whenever Nicolas Cage is in a role that is perfect for Nicolas Cage, he kills it. Like, did you see The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
I thought he was incredible in that. Like, he really, like, because he's a little stiff, but also prone to, like, outrage outbursts.
Yeah.
Like, he really sold me on he's a 1,000-year-old world-weary wizard.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually haven't seen that movie since it came out in theaters. I actually forgot it existed.
Pretty incredible film.
I do like Jay Baruchel. He's Michael Cera and Jesse Eisenberg wrapped in a little box.
He's like, a little bit awkward, a little bit of suave, but I really enjoyed that film.
Yeah, it was a really good movie. I saw it at a really cheap movie theater, so yeah. I didn't feel like I was losing any money. Like, I don't know that I would buy it.
That's for sure, yeah.
I definitely enjoyed it when I did see it.
And if there's a sequel, and I'm sure there will be a sequel.
There will be a sequel. It would have happened by now. I don't think it made enough money.
Which is sad, because it was a really well-made film. Like,
see, and that's what happens. Like, a lot of movies, like, Scott Pilgrim was fantastic, but, like, movies like that are probably going to be few and far between.
Also, it's a little bit of bittersweet here, and I think you were the best person in the world that I could be telling this to. You know that they were kicking around a movie idea. You remember me mentioning my love of H.P. Lovecraft, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely need to read you some Lovecraft. But there's one of his stories is At the Mountains of Madness. At the Mountains of Madness is what inspired the book Who Goes There, which inspired the film The Thing. Just to give you kind of a context for what this kind of movie is about, or this book is about. They were kicking around an idea to make that a film. Okay, would have made a lot of fanboys very, very happy. But they decided they were going to see how Scott Pilgrim vs. the World did first, because Scott Pilgrim vs. the World didn't do very good. They made a sequel to the Fast and Furious series instead, because
Universal, yeah, because
it was more fiscally reliable than a more independent, newer film concept.
See, and like, it sucks because I completely understand all that reasoning, and like, I mean, I try to follow the reasons behind everything studios do, because, you know, that's something I want to do. At the same time, it sucks so bad, because. You know,
that's why I said it was bittersweet, because I was like, that's the perfect thing. Like, it's a very contextual thing for this conversation.
Right.
Like, since we've talked about your love of Fast and the Furious and my love of movies that are actually good, so. I'm still kind of burnt up. I'm still a little bitter about that. At the Mountains of Madness not being made into a film, but I feel like they could have made a really good film out of it, because it's all about an Antarctic expedition to a lost city of these beings that lived prior to us, and it was a very, very atmospheric story. Very much like the thing is all over it whenever you're reading through it. But
maybe that's why they didn't want people to be like confused by it, because, like, I mean, everyone's knowledge of the thing was just John Carpenter's his version of the movie. Well, I mean, which was a remake of, you know.
But I mean, even I say that it was inspired by, but it's still something that if you didn't mention the thing at all, the thing is such an old movie now that nobody would know.
But they did a remake.
That nobody fucking saw, because it was ass.
I think a lot of people saw it.
It was ass.
I know it was ass.
Speaking of Flash Gordon, by the way, did I tell you I watched that today? Like, actually, I sat down and watched. That's why I kept sending you text messages about the
He'll save every one of us.
Yeah, yeah. And that movie is definitely dated. I don't know when the last time you saw that movie was, but that is...
Is that the one with the Hawkmen?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I haven't seen that movie.
Pure 80s cheese.
Since I was, I think the last time I saw that, like, I remember this because of the Hawk guys in it.
Yeah. The Hawkmen.
Yeah. I was, I think, 11 or 12, and it was before I moved out of my old house.
Okay.
And,
you absolutely need to see this movie.
It's been years since I've seen that.
Do you remember that at one point he fights a bunch of Imperial guards by carrying around a piece of metal that was in the shape of a football?
And I do not remember that.
He, like, quarterbacks his way through these guys, and he's absolutely playing a game of football against them, like, fighting them. It is so cheesy. Like,
it's awesome.
It's a beloved 80s film.
Yeah.
And it's like... You can't look at it and be like, well, this sucks. Like, they had limitations of cinematography. They had limitations of special effects. They had budget limitations. They had limitations that it was based on something that people weren't familiar with.
Like, but it always sucks when, like, a lot of people now, I mean, obviously people, I mean, we're in our early 20s. So, I mean, we're on the younger scale of things for us to know, be inherently aware of Flash Gordon. That's just the luck of our parents, you know, wanting to. Us to enjoy that stuff that they enjoyed. But there's like so many people that are just kind of like don't really, their knowledge of freaking Flash Gordon comes from that movie Ted. Like,
fucking Ted.
Yeah, like, which I thought it was talked up so much before I saw it that I was like, oh, okay, that happened.
I hated that movie, by the way, Ted.
I know.
Fucking hated it.
I laughed at parts, but I wasn't like, oh, this is so hilarious. I just, I don't want to get into it, but.
We're not talking about Ted.
Back to, like, everyone has this idea of movies now and that, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm watching an old movie. Can't be that bad. Like, then they're just like, oh, there's no CGI. There's no, like, everything's practical effects, obviously.
I love practical effects.
Yeah, and I do, too. That's what I think John Carpenter's The Thing is so scary to me. Like, when I saw that as a kid.
Not a damn bit of CGI in that.
Oh, my God. I want to throw up.
Holy crap.
When the scene when that they have the guy on the table. And his stomach opens up, comes out, and then his head gets burned off, and then it falls, and it turns into a spider.
Yeah.
Every time. That movie freaks me the hell out.
That movie is so fucking, like, that is seriously one of the best films, I think, ever been made.
That's my favorite horror movie, like, honestly.
And it's part of the Apocalypse trilogy, which I still want to get the other two.
Apocalypse.
John Carpenter made three films that were, I think it was, The Thing, In the Mouth of Madness, one other one. I forget what it was, but...
I know what you're talking about. I never saw the other two, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're all in that same vein of, this is viscerally terrifying, and the reason they call it the Apocalypse Trilogy is because they all deal with a situation that, if it gets out of hand, it's going to destroy all life on the planet.
And that's, and like, with, like, Evil Dead, like, even though that movie was a little bit... Actually, no, the first one I don't think it was goofy at all. It was campy, yes.
It's campy.
But it wasn't goofy like Evil Dead 2, but
that
movie...
Evil Dead 2 was cheesy as fuck.
The first Evil Dead is, like, it's really fucking creepy.
That's
like,
super dark, super creepy.
Scary. Have you seen the remake, by the way?
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
I liked it.
Did you notice all the practical effects in that movie?
Yes. Like, I loved that. Oh, I loved the practical effects. I loved how many references there were.
The old one, yeah.
Yes. And I loved, like, they weren't afraid to be campy and goofy in places, but they still managed to keep it creepy and scary. Yeah.
Like, that movie, like, probably not to the degree of the first Evil Dead, like, the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
But definitely I felt some, like, ugh.
Yeah, there was some recoiling. I did a little bit of that.
And I'm not squeamish at all, so I was just, but still, I was like, damn.
Yeah, and so I liked it for that. It didn't feel like an Evil Dead movie, though, to me. Like,
yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I didn't want it to, because that whole Evil Dead, Army of Darkness trilogy is kind of its own thing, and like,
they're making an Army of Darkness 2, by the way?
Yes, they are, and they're making...
Bruce Campbell?
Yes, and they're making an Evil Dead 2 off of this one, and the plan is to eventually have them... crossover universes, and Ash is fighting with whatever the girl's name is Mia,
exciting.
So Mia and Ash team up because she has the
chainsaw arm. Yeah.
How sick would that be?
Awesome.
Start peeing
everywhere. Like,
that's my reaction to things that are awesome.
Peeing everywhere.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I hope that does happen, seriously.
Did you see Virus, by the way?
No.
You should definitely check out Virus if you're big on the practical effects. Basically, in this, I think it's a salvage crew finds a Russian ship just floating out in the ocean. And they get on there, and apparently alien life form electronic virus came in through via satellite or some shit and made a bunch of
Brainiac.
Like, what?
Brainiac.
Yeah, very similar to that. But it made a bunch of human, like, I guess cyborg monsters on the ship. But it's less, you know, what kind of is creepy about cyborgs is it's, you have a meat base with computer parts added to it.
Yeah.
This is more computer with meat parts added to it.
General Grievous.
Yeah, it's very gross. Yeah. Like, trying to get back on Star Wars, I'm not going to let you do it.
No. I'm just making a reference back to something earlier. But I think we're out of time now. We've been talking for an incredibly long time.
Nice.
But so we'll be back with another episode in a little while, and we'll talk about some other things that we think are awesome and fun and nerdy, so to speak. But this has been Blur to the Nerd. I'm BJ.
And this is Matt.
And we'll see you next time.
Take it easy, guys.